So we have Abraham, the father of faith, and several instances where we get to admire him, where it feels like he is that great father of faith, and several other moments where we get to see that Abraham is still in process, that he makes some decisions and choices along the way that feel like, oh man, you know, if I was in his shoes, I'm not sure I would have done that. Of course, you know, it's easy to do that. The Bible's great about being able to be an armchair quarterback because we can see the story from the beginning of it, and then we get to see the end of it, and of course, we get to see how it turns out and how God intervened, and of course, we'd be the one to, like, be the person of faith. I don't know, but we do get to see the process that Abraham goes through, and so I just want to paint a few broad strokes on a little bit of the things that we can sometimes focus on his life. And as I was preparing this message, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I need to share those. So Abraham, not too long after God gives him the word to go and to leave his family, he goes into Egypt. And what's interesting, before he goes into Egypt, he actually has a conversation with his wife, who the Bible says was quite beautiful. And he said to her, now, before we even go in, I want you to say that you're my sister, because they're going to kill me because of your beauty. They're going to recognize your beauty. They're going to kill me because they're going to want you, and that's going to be the end of me. And so when we go into situations, you and I have an arrangement, we have an agreement that you're going to say that you're my sister, and thus I'm going to be spared. All right, so that was in the very beginning of when he launched out. So just again, to backtrack, God says to him, you know, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a mighty nation. Your descendants will be as the stars. And there was something about Abraham that God recognized. There was something on his life that we could see, you know, he was the father of faith, and God saw who he was, and maybe not necessarily the fact that he was going to make some interesting decisions along the way, but God saw who he was in his character. He's like, that's a guy I can do something with. So he sends him out, but not too long into the story, we see that Abraham takes things into his own hands, and because of fear of what, you know, he thought might happen. You know, how many times do we invent things based off what we think is going to happen? Let me just stop there for a second. We so often create scenarios in our head based off of what we think is going to happen, based off of the conversation that we might just be entertaining, our history, you know, what our experience has been in familiar moments, like, oh, that feels familiar, that, and then that's going to happen. And it's usually revolving around, you know, negative things. So in this case, and I think vice versa, we could create the positive as well. We could say, you know, I'm going to shape my future by what my thoughts are. Bobby speaks on that all the time. But here, Abraham maybe didn't have quite as much experience with God other than him sending him out. And so he creates in his head this scenario that my wife's beautiful, they're going to kill me, and so we're going to have this arrangement. All right, so that's the first thing. The second thing is later on, I believe it's in Genesis 16, where Sarah comes to Abraham and says, you know, something along the lines of, well, God's forgotten about the promise to you. Let's go ahead and make this happen. I want you to go in and lay with my servant. And so Abraham goes into Hagar, and he has a child. That child is Ishmael. And so we know that in that moment, too, we could say that Abraham probably, he might have missed it, okay? Or he's still in process. That's the more Christian way to say things, right? When somebody really screws up, we say, oh, they're in process, right? And it's actually a really kind wording to use when you're walking somebody through something and they're beating themselves up over, you know, the decision that they made. You can say, oh, that's okay, you're just in process. That feels a lot better than you really screwed up, right? Okay, so Abraham's in process. And then we see that a third significant moment where Abraham then travels again, and he didn't necessarily learn his lesson from the first interaction with Egypt, and I didn't actually realize, and maybe I had at some point, but he did the same thing twice, and it was because of the arrangement that he made with his wife. When he goes into the land of Abimelech, king of Gerar, the same exact scenario plays out where she goes into autopilot and says, well, they're going to kill my husband because of my beauty, so she just go ahead and does as she was instructed before and says, this is my brother, and so the whole scenario plays out. And in both those situations, we know that God intervened and didn't allow the king of Egypt and Abimelech to lay a hand on Sarah, but there was a curse that was brought on that land, and they recognize it, and then Abraham had to fess up, and okay, all that. So we see that there's those three moments in the history of Abraham spread out over some years where he's still in process. Okay? So the story of Abraham is actually, I think, a really good picture of our humanity, because we can see ourselves both in the moments of making kingdom decisions, and we can also see ourselves where our soul might be making the decisions for us. And if you think about your life, you can probably look back on those moments where you're like, man, I nailed that. I stepped out and God, you know, I trusted God and believed him for X, and he showed up, and it was like this high water mark in your life. And then there's other moments where you can look back on your history and say, ooh, man, I kind of took things into my own hands, and then a series of events plays out where, you know, God's like, okay, if you want to go that road, then I'm gonna walk you through this. And I've had some moments like that in my life where I've made some decisions that were based out of my emotion and my soul, and I had to walk those out. So I think we can all kind of grab a hold of Abraham here, his story, and say, I see some of me in his high water moments, and I can see some of me in the soulish decisions that he might have made. Can we all agree with that? Okay. So I'm not sure that God sees our failures the way that we do. I'm not sure that God looks at the moments where we step out into our soul and make those decisions, and he's saying, gosh, you really just, you know, you missed it there, you blew it. I think he sees us way more on the side of it, like I mentioned before, that we're in process, and that he recognizes that there's still some work that needs to be done in our soul in order for us to work through that process. And the reason why I say that is because Abraham, as he's journeying along, you can almost see like good decision, bad decision, good decision, bad decision, good decision, bad decision. And yet along the way, God is still affirming him in who he is, in his identity as the father of faith. There's still moments where even though he's made a poor decision, God comes to him and says, this is still who you are. And you can read through the story and find those moments where even on the heels of an Egypt or even on the heels of a Hagar, that God still along the way is affirming Abraham in who he truly is. So while we as a people, let's just say as Americans, you know, we've touched on this before, this whole cancel culture thing and how prevalent that is right now. And I don't think it's even more, it's about as prevalent as it can be during times of a presidential election and during times of a Supreme Court election, because what happens when these people are nominated for, you know, some of the highest offices in our land is then everybody goes through their history and they scrutinize and they say, well, when you were 18, you did this, or when you were 25, you did this, or, you know, 15 years ago, you were part of this conversation. And as if those moments where somebody might have made a poor decision, in some cases just they don't agree with them politically and they've tried to dig into those things, but because somebody did something that was a mistake in their history, that then disqualifies them from being able to do what it is that they've been appointed to do. How many of us know that our mistakes are probably the things that we learn and grow from the most, and that actually are the things that cause us to be qualified and elevated in those positions most likely? It's not out of our perfection. It's not out of doing everything perfectly well along the way. It's the moments where we stub our toe and figure out who God wants to be for us in that moment, grow from it, and then it's like, okay, I have that wealth of that decision inside of me that felt pretty bad at the moment, but now it feels like strength in my life. So we know that, you know, this cancel culture thing is incredibly prevalent right now. And people in general want to function out of that place of judgment and vilifying because of their history, because of their mistakes. I would not be up here speaking if you knew my history, probably. Like, we're all disqualified ultimately because of the sin that's on our life. It's only because of the power of the blood of Jesus that any of us get to have a voice, okay? But it's not kingdom. Cancel culture is not kingdom. It's the opposite of kingdom, because kingdom is always redemptive, and cancel culture is always, I'm going to beat you over the head because of the poor decisions that you made.